As Brother Dwayne preached this morning about thirsting and about getting that water, there's a picture that was sent to me about 3 months ago. And it was a picture that was very disturbing to me. And it caused me to ponder, you know, about how much of a blessing that I have to be walking and living and learning more about God. And the picture was, if I could paint this, I couldn't do it justice, but just imagine this. A child, maybe, I couldn't tell. I would just say around 10 years old. So emaciated with hunger. Crawling to a food bank. Crawling, mind you, because it's too weak to walk. But in the shadows of it is a vulture. Waiting for that child not to make it. And I thought to myself, I said, what a blessing it is to live in a place where there's such an abundance of material goods. What a blessing it is to worship in God. Because for the grace of God, there go I. That's what came unto me. And the question I want to ask you today, the question I want to ponder for you, to you to ponder is, why should God bless me? You ever thought about that? Why should God bless me in any form, way, or fashion? What in me, what goodness in me do I have that would let the Lord's light shine before me? There is none. You think about it. The Scriptures tell us that God knows us more or better than we know ourselves. Just think about it. He knows the secret intents of our hearts. But yet in that, I will answer the question for you. And you, as Brother Tom was speaking, he turned to the book of John. And I was looking at 1 John. In the 3rd chapter, he says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What manner of love? Therein lies your blessing. There's your rejoicing. Rejoicing in the love that was bestowed upon every one of us by the name of Jesus Christ. There's no name greater. Said about knowing Christ. Again, I saw a picture. There are people that know Christ. The Muslims know Christ. He's a prophet of theirs. But they don't know Christ like you know Him. How it has been revealed to you. How He's touched you and moved you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. And in that lies your blessing. Though everything may be stripped. When Brother Andrew mentioned Paul being in a jail. When he was writing that letter to the Philippians. He was in a prison. In a prison probably no more higher than this little hole cave. Scrunched down, deep, damp, rats. I mean, you just name it. But yet he rejoiced. He rejoiced because he saw one thing, and that is that cross that lay before him. To know Him and the power of His resurrection, that is where your blessing lies. Yes, you are blessed. You are blessed far above anything that you will ever know. Because of the death of a man 2,000 years ago that some in the world hate. The sum in the world hate. He's always blessed His people. And I don't want to take up a lot of time. I know you're tired and worn out. And you have another service to tend to. But, you know, I just want to bring some things out. You know, God knows us. Knows our foolishnesses. Or as it tells us in Psalm 69 verse 5. He knows every bit of our foolishness. But yet, He blesses us. Blessed you to be here from young to old. From young to old. Why? There's a reason why he's done it. That you may be light unto others. That you may propagate what God has done in your heart among others. Brother Zach and them are going to Russia. And our prayer should be that they are a blessing to the Russians. Though they may not speak a language that is, you know, English, they may not speak it very well. Some may speak it. Some may understand. I mean, some may need an interpreter. The interpreter may need an interpreter for Brother Zach. But we know that they're going to be speaking one common language. And that's the language of Jesus Christ. That breaks down all barriers of spoken and written word. That breaks it all down. Though yet, David said, though I be in the depths of hell, the depths of the sea, you know me. You know everything about me. So that's one of the convicting things for me. I don't know about for you. It does convict me. And it convicted me when I saw that picture. There was a reason that was sent to me. To show me how much of a blessing I have. That I don't live in a place where those things happen. But yet, that I can make a difference. Maybe not over there, but here. Because as there is that natural starvation, there is a spiritual starvation too. There are those who are wandering aimlessly, searching for something they call the truth. Pontius Pilate, when Jesus said, I am the truth, he asked the question, what is truth? My friends, he was looking at it. It was in his flesh and blood, and he there in flesh and blood before him, and he could not see it. He could not even begin to understand what he was saying. We search. We know the truth. We have the truth. Is that a blessing to us? Yes, it is. It is a blessing that you can use to help those who are searching for the truth. My friends, there are people. I spoke to people today who come from other. I came from another order. I came from an order that I was talking to Brother Tim's neighbor. He's telling me that we're speaking in Spanish, and he was telling me that before he came to the United States, that while he was going to sign his papers, he had to wait a little while, so he went to the big cathedral in Mexico City. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It is an ornate building. An ornate building. And a lady walked up to him and pinned him with a statue of the Virgin Mary. Just put it on him and said, 300 pesos, please. He's not even asking for it. And he told her, you need to take this off. I don't worship images. Basically, that's what he's saying. She wouldn't. She called him a heretic. You see, my friends, that's what you have to contend with. People who are searching, they have a glimpse, but not the full understanding. And that's where this wonderful book comes into mind. I know it may be sounding like a shotgun scattering out there, some different ideas, but it is important to understand that you are a blessing, that God blessed you. He's merciful unto you, as it tells us in Psalm. And I was taking my text from Psalm 67. It says, God, be merciful unto us. We've already known His mercy because you're here. You're saved by the mercy of God, the unmerited favor of God. And not only He asked this question, He asked to be merciful unto us, but to bless us and cause Thy face to shine upon us. That's what we want to do. Let God's face shine upon us. That reflection may shine outward towards others. That you may be a blessing to others. That you may be a blessing to others. In Joshua, the 24th verse, which is the last chapter, Joshua's gathered the tribe of Israel, and he's about to really lay, I believe it's a scolding sermon to them because they've forgotten something. And like I said, like Peter says, I want to stir up your right minds. That's what we want to always be done, is stir up. And sometimes the preachers are there. I was stirred up today by Brother Andrew and Brother Duane. I was moved by the things they said last night and today. But if you notice, if you read this, the whole chapter, you will find that Joshua is telling the tribe of Israel how much they've been blessed, what God has done for them. And they did not do anything for themselves. You will see the word I, or the personal pronoun I there, 16 times. God saying, I took you, verse 3, I took you out of the, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. He said, I took him. He didn't go. He didn't just say one day, well, what's it like on the other side? What's it like in Canaan? What's it like over there? No, God called him and he obediently went. I gave unto Isaac, and I gave unto, in verse 4 it says, I gave unto Isaac and Jacob and Esau. I gave unto Esau the Mount Seir to possess it. He said, hey, you see, going forward, I sent Moses, also Aaron. I sent the plagues. To what? To bless Israel so they may leave out of Egypt. All those things he said, I brought you out. He said, I brought you, brought your fathers out of Egypt. He said, I have done what I've done in Egypt. In verse 7, he said, you dwell in the wilderness a long season. I brought you out of the land of the Amorites. I destroyed them before you. You see God working for you all, for them all the time. That God is working for you today. But we have to, my friends, is just accept what he does for us and not question his motives and his purpose in your life. It is important to submit ourselves unto him. It is important for us to know that he knows the directions that we should go. He knows how we should be. And you see that Joshua, that's saying that his family, as for he and his family, they will follow the Lord. But he says, choose you this day whom you will follow, whether it be those other gods. And my friends, if you notice in the world today, some have chosen the other gods of the other world. They've chosen the gods of the world, the things that are not relevant to their spiritual, things that are not to their spiritual growth, things that are just frivolous. Frivolous. But you today to sit here and drive a long distance to hear preaching for 2 hours, that's one of the things that people laugh when I tell them I'm going to a meeting up in Memphis. They said, why? You know, what's up there? I said, well, it's some preaching. We're going to hear preaching for a couple hours and three times a day. And they just are mind boggled by that. Why would you put yourself through that torture? But it's not a torture. It is not. You rejoice in it. You leave here wishing it would last all week. You would wish that this moment could be captured forever. And by the blessing of God, it is. You can get it on your audio sermon. It is. You might could erase mine, but you can get the ones that mean to you, that moved you, that encouraged you, that taught you something, that was important for you, that sent a message to your heart that uplifted you, that caused you when you go back to your home church, or if this is your home church, to be more studious, to be more understanding, to pray, be more prayerful, to be motivated, to feed others, to help others. If you fed the poor, you've done it unto the least of me. That's what Scripture said. If you take care of me, you took care of me when I was in prison. When did we do this? The Lord asked. When? When you did it to the least of them. That's when you did it. In, like I said, you are blessed. God has certainly enriched you in a way sometimes that is, we take it for granted. That's why I think sometimes the Lord sends things our way. Somebody was saying, I think Brother Andrew, about not understanding a blessing when it's there for you. I heard I'm not one to tell jokes from the pulpit, but I heard one that a man was on a roof during the flood, and he was praying to the God, to the Lord to save him. And up comes a man in a boat, and he said, "Do you need help? You know, you get in the boat." He said, "No, I'm waiting for a sign from the Lord." So man went on. Another one came by and said, "Another boat, get on. You need to get off that roof. The waters are rising." "No, I'm waiting for the sign from the Lord to help me." So guess what? Floods overcame him. He died. He's up in heaven. He asked the Lord. He said, I pray that you would help me. I sent you two boats." Sometimes he didn't listen to what the answer the Lord had for us. So that's what we should be more prayerful and abiding in the Lord. And one of the things that God has really blessed us with is this book. It is perfect. There isn't a book more perfect than the Bible. There isn't. I mean, man, and the thing is, it's been tried. People have tried to distort, to change, to fix, to manipulate, to fix it in a way that fits them. But the true Word of God will never change. The true Word of God may never change. Do you find this book a blessing? I'll tell you, and I know I'm speaking to a captive audience of believers, and it's kind of like preaching to the choir. I know you do. But this is some things in the Scripture that will help us to understand why this book is a blessing to us, to me, and to you. If you look at Psalms 19, it started at verse 7. It says, "The law or the doctrine of the Lord is perfect. The statutes that He laid out for us are just and right and true." That is true in that the world should search for. "Converting the souls." And then it tells us, for converting the soul, "the testimony of the Lord is sure." It's sure. That means it's steadfast. It does not move. When Jesus gave the parable of building these two people building houses, one on sand, the other one on that firm foundation. I believe it's in Matthew. He said that he dug deep into the rock. He worked for it, and he found bedrock that he built his house on, that when the waves hit it, it did not move. It was not destroyed, but the other house fell apart because it was built on sand. Your foundation is sure on the testimony of God. It's sure. "And maketh the wise and maketh wise the simple." Makes people like me understand something that they couldn't understand before. Somebody simple-minded like myself to understand about Jesus Christ. And the thing is, it makes the wise, those wise in the world, look foolish. Because they stand up against these testimonies and truth. That's a blessing. That this is your shield to help you in your life. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Is your heart rejoicing? I'm sure it is. I mean, some of us, you know, sometimes it takes me a little bit to yank that amen out of me, but when I hear some good preaching, and I'm not trying to pull them out of you guys. So. But it does. But when it hits you, you feel it. You know you're hearing and rejoicing of what you are listening to. And it says, "The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes." We are enlightened by the blessings of God, by these commandments that He left for us, that the world has forsaken. The world wants to change them. That these are 10 suggestions. No, they're not suggestions. The Lord called them commandments. They have a reason and a purpose. They are the rules, the boundaries in which people of faith must walk in. They're not grievous. They're not grievous. Why? Because if you have a problem in walking in that path, God is there to put you on the straight and narrow. And it's enlightening to the eyes. And it awakens us. And it sees us. And opens us up. Sometimes I know that in reading Scripture, I'll look through it and look through it and read over some parts. And one day I look at it and, wow, it opened me up to see something that I didn't see before. In fact, when I was sitting there, I was looking at this verse as Brother James was speaking. Because it's true. It enlightens. The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. In the world today, you worshiping the way you are called an intolerant group of people. And I don't mind that statement. I don't really mind it. Because I serve an intolerant God. A God who does not tolerate the sins and iniquities and transgressions of men. So why should I allow that into my life and tolerate it in my life? And they don't see it that is clean and just. They see you as something different, a roadblock to living the life of what's free and ease. You're living a life that's free and easy. You're free. By what? By the death of Jesus Christ. You're free from all iniquity. In order, one thing that, and I promise I won't stay here much longer, up here much longer. Paul, as he's writing that letter to the Philippians, think about this. If his ministry, if he had to think about every day of his life, what he did in the past, what would it do to his ministry forward? It would paralyze him. He wouldn't have been able to. So God wants you to forget about your former life and think of your new life. That's why it is clean. Your slate has been cleaned. And cleaned. And endures forever. You know, there are those that say, well, you know, if you're baptized today and sin tomorrow, you lost it, you've got to start all over again. No, you don't. You don't have to start all over. Just get on your knees and ask for forgiveness. That's what you do. Repent. Repent. Continuing. It says, the fear of the Lord is enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and altogether righteous. They're true. There's no falseness, no gravity of change. It's real. It's set. It's etched. It doesn't move. It doesn't move. Like man tries to move it around. Man, it's not a living document that you could add and like our amendments, you could add and change and here, vote here and say, well, that's not good for us. It was good for them in the past, but not good for us today. My friends, if it was good for the disciples 2,000 years ago and his followers back then, it's good for us today. It is good for us today. It is good to worship God in simplicity and truth. That's all there is to it. It is as simple as Brother James laid out to us. In believing in Jesus Christ, in Him crucified, and that's it. And let my life be parallel to His, as He is my example to live by. What a glorious life it is to see the little ones walking in the truth and to see little ones singing the praises of God. It rejoices. You know, I was once like little like them. It's hard to believe that so many years have passed on and I've forgotten what it's like to be that way. But the having the simplicity of worship, that their hearts are open and attentive to the things, and there's no barriers to keep them like we have today for us adults. Like Brother Andrew said, men are more skeptical than women, and adults are more skeptical than children. Than children. Come to me. That's what. And he had those children, yet they flocked to Jesus. You know what happened? Just push them away. They're bothering us. No, unless you come as one of these, an open mind and an open heart. That's the example of what we should be like a child. Have that childlike, simplistic qualities in our faith. And moreover, to be desired as they than gold. The world today is stuck in this mode of making money. Everything is about money. Everything is about earning, saving, spending. It motivates. All you hear on the news is money, money, money. You know, oil, this, that. What you have, the blessings you have today, the simple style of worship, the faith of unity, and like faith and beliefs, and having a book set before you that God ordained for you to be your tool in your walk in life is more than gold. Is more than gold. You could not accumulate all the money in the world to help you in any sports, to save you in any form or fashion. It couldn't do anything for you. Can't carry it with you. Can't do anything with it. Once you're dead, it's gone. But what God has given you is everlasting. In that, my friends, you find your blessing. You are blessed. You are blessed above anything in anything you'll ever know. Because you have one person, a real, historical, living man and God, Jesus Christ. And that is your blessing.